This is Asia Behind the News. I'm Walter Pearson. On the 18th of October, Professor Brian Brogan, Professor of Economics at the University of Papua New Guinea, alleged that he'd been approached by a person who introduced himself as Mr. Lindsay Burridge, JIO Head of Station at the Australian High Commission in Port Moresby. Professor Brogan alleged that the Australian Joint Intelligence Organisation, Papua New Guinea branch, was attempting to obtain confidential information on students, both past and present, and staff at the University of Papua New Guinea. To discuss these allegations, I have in the studio with me today the Vice-Chancellor of the University of Papua New Guinea, Renagi Lohia, and John Waiko, a graduate from the university, who is at present studying here at the ANU at the Research School of Pacific Studies, as well Richard Curtin, who's worked at the University of Papua New Guinea and who is at present studying at the ANU in the Geography Department of the School of General Studies. And my first question is to you, Renagi. What was your reaction when you heard of the allegations of Professor Brian Brogan?
My first reactions were quite mixed in that I was not on the ground when the problem was identified. And I also trust my staff, particularly the acting vice chancellor, Mr. Declan, who is also a graduate of the university, and I had all my beliefs in him that he would handle the case as far as an administrator of the institution is concerned. But as a chief executive of the academic and administrative functions of the university, I was appalled at the news that there were spying activities at the University of Papua New Guinea. This, I think, is an activity which would not be tolerated by any vice chancellor or any president of university in the United States, because it is a threat to university's autonomy and academic freedom. University staff and students must be left in a free environment to pursue and push the frontiers of knowledge to assist world communities so that they can live peacefully together. And I do not like to see any spying activities at the University of Papua New Guinea myself. And I would not like to see that academic staff and students to be made involved in spying activities. And if I were the Australian government, I would remove the person involved in such an incident as soon as he was identified. I think it was an embarrassment to the Australian government, and also it was an embarrassment to Mr. Critchley, who has done a good work in Papua New Guinea, and it was a shame to see that at the end of his service to Papua New Guinea and also to Australian government, that this had happened by an individual personnel in the Australian High Commission.
Do you think it's only that, the activities of one individual in the High Commission, and not something that is Australian government policy?
Well, I am not sure whether I can believe that completely. I think there may be certain people who are involved in trying to seek information. Universities anywhere are free to relay information to those who need it, but universities will have to protect staff and students and ensure that the environment in which they are working in their pursuit of knowledge and pushing the frontiers of knowledge is peaceful and quiet, and that people are able to freely relay information to whoever may want to consume it. But any person who is seeking information on personal matters, like academic records or whatever, which may damage an individual person, whether he be staff or student, that kind of information would not be relayed to any person who is regarded to be danger to that particular individual or to the university community.
Professor Brogan alleges that JIO or ASIO as well also wanted to gain information on past students. How long do you think this has been going on, or is it just something that's happened in the last couple of months?
As far as I know, I'm a graduate of the University of Papua New Guinea. People have been asking news about me, how I have been going, and what I have been doing since I came to this so-called civilized world. University of Papua New Guinea, or particularly Papua New Guinea, in my opinion, is a very open society. Information does go out because we trust each other. I think time has come that a situation has been created that we cannot trust anybody. And this particular incident is going to push people like myself, John Waiko, or anybody else, to be reluctant to talk to any Australian. And I hope this doesn't develop to that extent between particularly Australian academic staff and our students, or Australian academic staff and Papua New Guinean staff. It is an important important concern that Papua New Guinean staff and students should work in harmony with anybody who is working at the University of Papua New Guinea, or in Port Moresby, or Rabaul, or Lae. But if there is a danger in this kind of activity, then certainly Papua New Guineans are going to react in a negative way, and they will try to hold back, and they will not be given information of any kind.
John Curtin. Richard Curtin, sorry.
Well, I'd just like to say, as an Australian who at some stage in the future would like to work at the University of Papua New Guinea, that I found Andrew Peacock's statement in the House quite extraordinary, in which he inferred that it was perhaps the duty of an Australian to give information if approached by an Australian intelligence officer. Now, in one sense, he was trying to score a debating point by explaining that Professor Brogan had once been on Tom Muren's staff, and therefore was he, because of that, anti-patriotic. But nevertheless, his remarks have been taken to a far wider... the implications have been taken to a far wider extent, and I find it quite remarkable that anybody should assume that an Australian has an obligation in any way to work for his own country outside of his contractual obligations to his employer, that his own situation to his employer must take second place to some sort of nebulous allegiance to his own country's national welfare. It all smacks very much of the obligation of individuals in many places, the patriotic duty that the CIA often called upon individuals to give information because of the so-called threat to national security. As an Australian, I reject that idea wholeheartedly.
I think let's get down to the basic thing. Why and what sort of information did Mr. Barrage want? It seems to me that according to the press, he was interested in the students, particularly the past students, who may have some kind of activity in conjunction with the West Syrian case. In fact, it has been also stated in the press that medical faculty staff was one of the person whose information that he was seeking. So this raises to me a very wide issue in terms of the whole intelligence organization in terms between Papua New Guinea and West Syrian and in Australia. And it seems to me that the whole system is geared towards Australia, or Mr. Barrage, in fact, been geared towards obtaining information that is of use to not only to Australia, but to the neighboring country because of the border issue. So we have to look at it on the broader level as well as on the local scene.
What are you saying then, that there's some duplicity between Australia and Indonesia in attempts to quell activity in Irian Jaya?
I think there is of that sort going on, but my question is whether the Papua New Guinea government is aware of that. I mean, that's my own question, whether the Papua New Guinea government as such is aware of the whole activity, in conjunction between Indonesia and Australia. And perhaps, as Mr. John Jaminan tried to point out, the whole Russian activity, or you know, some network that is being brought up.
Well, to provide a bit of background on John Jaminan's allegations, John Jaminan is now the spokesman for finance in the opposition in the Parliament of Papua New Guinea, and former director of the special branch in Papua New Guinea. And his allegations were that while he was director, that the ASIO and ASIS branches of Australian intelligence attempted successfully to gain information on Australians, Papua New Guineans and foreigners working within the Papua New Guinean government. The final allegation that he made was that what was worrying was the also now the presence of Russian and Indonesian agents in Papua New Guinea. An additional point he did make too that was that the Papua New Guinean government, the cabinet, weren't vehement enough in their rejection of requests for information passed through ASIO, and that I think in a post-colonial situation that it's very easy to carry over ties that have been made in the colonial era, and unless the government takes a very strong stand to cut all such ties, people have a lot of contacts that they've initiated in the colonial era and simply carry them over in the same pattern as was the intelligence gathering networks that were established beforehand.
Do you think that this approach happening now is timely, that it's connected in some way with the statements made by, I think it was Chief of Staff, or was it...
Major Diro, or yes. Commander Diro.
Yes, and... you know, at the present time, Australians are operating in Irianjaya, doing mapping and so on. Now, is this approach, do you think it's something to do with a sort of total overall plan, that it's been timed this way for a specific reason, that there is sort of a plan that the Australian government is working to ensure that there is no support coming to Irianjaya from Papua New Guinea?
Well, I think... And on this particular incident of Lindsay Burridge, that it was largely a hopeless mistake. For a start, I don't think JIO are meant to carry out direct spying. That's left to ASIS. Mm. And
the Australian Secret Intelligence Service.
Yes, and JIO is merely meant to collect information. And that this fellow is a former lecturer at the university, and apparently a very erratic character, and obviously was very indiscreet, and was treated as a bit of a joke, in the sense that he must have been set up, that other people at the university told him to go and see Professor Brogan to get the information. Well, if anybody had known, to suggest to go and see Brian Brogan would have been tantamount to exposing the fellow, because Brian Brogan would have done nothing else but that. Not merely that, that also Brian Brogan would have had a lot of contacts with the Labor Party in Australia and would be able to expose the fact to full advantage. So I think it was largely a very obvious indiscretion by this JIO fellow, and he was incapable of carrying on his intelligence job by simply reading the papers and keeping his eyes and ears open as a diplomat, which was obviously what he was meant to do. Instead, he stepped overboard and went and asked for direct information.
I'm concerned that civilized world today should be involved in such activities. I think one point is clear, that the world has accepted that people must have choice to govern themselves, to pursue their own livelihood in the manner they see fit. And this is why Papua New Guinea became independent from Australia. This is why Australia became independent from Britain. This is why the Irish people are seeking independence from Britain. And it is generally accepted that people must be allowed to live and decide for their own future. And if Westerian people are thinking that they, you know, they must have a say in what their future is, why shouldn't we allow them to do that? I'm appalled at the civilized world getting into such activities. I come from a primitive country, according to anthropologists and Western European civilized people. But I live, you know, I have been brought up in a very free society where I'm not frightened of my neighborhood. I can move freely around. And in our societies, we do not like to see people spying on others. That does restrict the movement of people. And if people are civilized, they better stop doing that kind of activity. I would not like to see it happen on our university campus or in Papua New Guinea or anywhere else. That is the general principle that I hold as a person. But I'm really concerned that very civilized and highly educated people like the Australian government should be encouraging such activity in a civilized world and democratic world today. That is my own personal point of view.
They have the vested interest. I mean, Australia has its vested interest, of course, that because of the Papua New Guinea border issue, and on the one hand, and also on the other, the question of the Westerian, you know, between Papua New Guinea and Indonesia, and so this, I think that's the main thing behind it. But what I'm really concerned about is the sort of the kind of intimidation that it has upon individual people when this sort of thing goes on. And particularly on graduates, most of whom are in top positions. I really think that this sort of thing ought to be eradicated, or even person found out and must be deported.
Australia should not house people like Baraj. I mean, you know, it's really an embarrassment to Australian community. That somebody, an individual, would go out of his own way to seek information. I don't know for what reason, but I know that Papua New Guineans are going to be on the lookout that this guy doesn't have any access to anything.
Does it say anything to you about the way Australia really feels about Papua New Guinea? There is an official view that we all know of how Australia feels towards Papua New Guinea, but to do this sort of thing, to spy, to try and gain information on people who have been graduates of the university and who now probably hold important political positions in the country, does this say something about a sort of covert attitude that Australia has to Papua New Guinea to you?
Well, my view is this, that I think that the people like this tend to present Australia to Papua New Guinea, in Papua New Guinea. And some of us who have the opportunity to go outside of Papua New Guinea tend to see other side of Australians who are different and who are, in fact, in the same boat as with us. But as far as I can see, I think that, you know, this sort of thing actually goes on, and both government, Australian government and Papua New Guinea government, have been aware of it, and they have been aware of the existence of Baraj. Why, the question I would like to ask is why it has to be blown up at this stage?
I think when you say that whether this is an Australian attitude to Papua New Guinea, I think it's a wrong statement. Because most Australians, millions of Australians, do not know anything about Papua New Guinea. It's the government attitude, probably, Australian government attitude to Papua New Guinea. Of course, Australian government has an interest in Papua New Guinea, and the Labour government had a different attitude to Papua New Guinea. And in my simple understanding, they helped to give Papua New Guinea independence. But I don't know what this government has, what the interest of the present government in Papua New Guinea. We know that they're interested in the raw materials in the country. We know that we have to rely on Australia, and they have made us to rely on Australia for a lot of services. And so we are economically not independent, and they probably would like to see this continue forever. But Papua New Guinea has to wake up to itself to rely on its own resources, and therefore will have the ability to say no to certain activities within the country, like Australian spying on Papua New Guinea, in Papua New Guinea. But I really don't know what the Australian attitude is, because the Australian public really has no knowledge of Papua New Guinea. And I know quite a lot of friends in Australia, and the only information they know about Papua New Guinea is what I tell them about Papua New Guinea, or what they see of me as a Papua New Guinean. But the Australian government attitude is quite different, and I don't know what it is. And I think it's the Australians to tell Papua New Guineans what the Australian attitude is.
Richard Curtin, do you see it as a covert, official Australian government attitude, in that, you know, it's an attitude perhaps of exploitation?
Well, I think that they're basically carrying on the same attitudes that they had when Australia was a colony, that obviously places like JIO and the other intelligence networks don't realise that Papua New Guinea's independence, and they still feel that it's part of their sphere of influence, and that they should, since it's the nearest neighbour, that they should keep their contacts up, just as they did particularly during the late 60s and early 70s. As Ranagi and John will no doubt tell you, that the special branch were very active in Papua New Guinea before, quite openly before self-government. And there doesn't seem to be, if this is any indication, there doesn't seem to be any evidence that they have altered their activities substantially at all since Papua New Guinea's become independent.
Is that the case? Prior to independence, the special branch was acting quite overtly?
Well, Mr. Barrage was at the University of Papua New Guinea in the early 70s, and no doubt I think Richard is right.
But we were all followed various times.
I mean, you know, we all been followed everywhere by all sorts of agencies.
But then at the same time, we were open. You know, I don't think I was frightened to give any information, particularly my point of view about what was going on.
They were interested, of course, the political, political activities.
Well, the Papua New Guinea Open Society really came in, and there was no hide and seek about what we were thinking about PNG's future. And, Pangu Party at its earlier stage was a national party, and it has a marriage with the university students and pursued the same goal. And we have got independence, but are we independent?
Well, are you? How do you?
Well, when these activities go on, I do tend to...
I think, as I see, the Australian role in this sort of activity there is that not necessarily for the Australians to go on and spy, but, you know, I mean, there are people perhaps who can be able to train Papuans and New Guineans who, particularly the role of JIO, in terms of if they want to gather information on whatever. But the thing I really don't like is this. I think it's Australian, you know, tax money, in fact, that this person is being employed to do this sort of thing. When he blows the whole thing up, and I think it's the Australian public, you know, to be made aware of this fact, that the taxpayer has been paid by Australians, ordinary Australians, not the government, but ordinary Australians to go and do this sort of thing in another country. And that country, as far as I'm concerned, reject that kind of and deplore the way he goes about in doing that sort of thing.
Do you see the Prime Minister's statement yesterday on the Royal Commission and the Royal Commission's report? Do you think this will have any effect on the way Australians might operate in the future in Papua New Guinea if they continue to operate there?
Well, unfortunately, I don't listen to everything that Fraser says. Could you tell me what the essence of the statement was?
Well, the essence of the report was that ASIO in particular had been rather lax in the way that it had gathered information and the way that it had reported it, and the quality of the reporting was quite bad. And I wonder if, you know, if this is happening in Papua New Guinea too, whether our intelligence organisations are reporting inaccurately, and you know, whether Australians, because the report has been handed down, and because the minister is going to have a closer look at AESIO, ASIS, and JIO, that perhaps we may see a change in the way, or perhaps whether we'll see a moving right out of Papua New Guinea altogether, that maybe, like Topsy, the JIO thing just grew, that Australians had been there in the past and that they, you know, it's just grown up in the country now. Perhaps we will see, because of the report, because there has been flak drawn to the organisations, that perhaps we'll see a real clean-up in that area, and perhaps we'll see also a movement out of...
Well, I can't see any justification for JIO, let alone ASIO or ASIUS, being in a foreign country.
ASIS's role, though, is one of covert intelligence gathering in foreign countries.
Yes, but because it has that role, it doesn't justify it. I can't see how Australia can justify interfering in the affairs of other countries by spying. There, if JIO's activity is simply to collect information and analyse it about the political situation in a country, say from secondary sources, or from attempting to get an informed opinion of what's going on, then those activities can be carried on within Australia and not in a foreign country.
I don't think Australia would welcome spying activities in Australia itself. Australian public will get up in arms and, you know, say, you know, get out of here. If Papua New Guineans were spying here on behalf of the Papua New Guinea government, you know, I mean, I would be kicked out of this place, you know, quick and smart. I don't think any human being would accept that kind of activity. As it happened in Watergate, you know, people generally do not like to see that their freedom is being threatened because of spying activities.
Will it happen again?
Well, I hope not. I would not welcome any spying activities on the university campus which would threaten the university's autonomy and academic freedom. University academic staff and students should be left in a free environment to pursue knowledge and push the frontiers of knowledge. And that is a generally held and accepted view in any university community that I know of.
John Micah.
Well, I particularly, you know, some of this past and present students are going to be the leaders of this of the country. I just would like to see that sort of thing would be eradicated. The question to me that I'd like to pose is that how are we going to do it within the university itself? Whether we're going to have Brian Brogan again in 2 years' time or 5 years' time, and that's the question.
John Micah, thank you very much. Thank you to the Vice-Chancellor of the University of Papua New Guinea, Renagi Lohia, and thank you too to Richard Curtin. This is Walter Pearson, inviting you to join us again next week for more Asia Behind the News.